Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Usually we find teachers and students in the classroom. Now they're getting together in students' homes. We'll tell you why in a few moments. But first, police and young people. Their relationship is often confrontational, as we've seen in recent months. But they're being put together in an innovative program that is positive and promising. It's called Books and Badges. With me to explain are Karen Kalish, the woman who created Books and Badges here. Detective DeAndre Davis of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department trains officers for the program. Officer Darius Wetling is with the St. Louis PD. He's a program participant. And Peggy Meyer is the principal at Warner Elementary School. I thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Karen, good to see you again.
Thank you.
We've done this before, but I think we'll have to tell our folks who are listening for the first time to this particular subject, what exactly is Books and Badges?
The background is that I went on a ride-along in a police car 12 years ago. It was a Saturday night, 7 to midnight, North St. Louis. I had chosen that area to see what's going on. And it turned out to be such a boring night. There was one break-in, no one was there, one stolen car, no one was there, and one marital dispute that lasted 5 minutes. That was it. So I'm very involved in education, and knowing the seriousness of the relation between police and kids and the need, I went to the then chief, Chief Mokwa, and said, I want to put all the police in the schools on a weekly basis, reading and writing with kids. And he said, you can't have the police. They need to be on the street. But you can have all the recruits. So I went and met the head of the academy, who happened to be Dan Isom. And he was the second chief after, and told him. And he said, great, let's do it. So it's been part of the curriculum of the academy for the last 12 years. What is the it? To go into the schools on a weekly basis while they're in the academy and read and write with kids. So we've been in about 15 of the public schools. There's usually 35, 36 recruits per class. We divide up in thirds, and we put 12 in one school, 12 in another, 12 in another, only elementary schools, and they go from 3 to 4 in the afternoon on Wednesdays. And they go into classrooms in pairs, and the teacher has four more hands to work with the kids, read, write, flashcards.
Chief Dotson calls it preventive policing.
Well, I'm on my third chief, as I said. After Mokwa left, I went to Isom and said, do you still want the program? Oh, I love this program. Then I went to Sam and said, oh, I love this program. So they love that when we don't have too much data on this, but they love the kids and the police getting together. The goals are for the kids to see police in a helping light and for the recruits to see how serious this education inequity is in this region.
Detective Davis, if there were ever a time to put police officers and young people on the same page, no pun intended, this is it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Right now, there's a divide with the community and the police, and to see our recruits going into these classrooms and building that foundation is pivotal right now.
How are the recruits reacting to this? I mean, this is probably not something they expected when they signed on.
Well, they don't. They really don't have a grasp on the totality of police work right now. So to them, it may be something that's tedious. But I really try to put something to them and let them know that this is police work. It is. It's the foundation, and almost 90% of our job is interaction. And with these young people, this is the best time to really be interactive and allowing them to see you as a human being.
And Officer Rutling, when I said that that was probably something recruits didn't expect, you had a big smile on your face.
Yes, I didn't know that we were going to do things like that, but I actually enjoyed it. It's a great program.
And you've just finished, a 9-week stint, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Tell me how that worked. I mean, what exactly were you doing?
Basically, we would come in 3 to 4, and as Karen said, we were helping hand. And we would read to the children some days, and some days they would read to us. And me and my partner, we would come up with little small games to make it interesting so you're not just sitting there reading a book, because reading can get boring at times. And I know today's society doesn't read at all, really, so we were trying to find interesting ways to make it like, hey, reading is great, so.
And you were in uniform, I'm sure, when you were doing all of
this.
And how did they react to you? And how did they react to you when this started? And did it change by the time you finished?
They were excited. They actually was like, oh, you guys are going to be cops. A lot of them said they wanted to be cops. And we was trying to show them that, hey, you have to get your education, stay in school, if you want to actually do this and try to do something positive in the world instead of, you know, negative because, you know, I don't know what they see on a day-to-day basis. But we were trying to show them something different when we came in. Like, hey, we were in your shoes once upon a time, and we wanted to be cops, and look at us now. So you can do it.
And the program is geared toward the kids, but I believe the recruits really, really get an understanding of how it works. And what I mean by that, the interaction of people, to be able to come into that classroom and not know anybody. They have to tear down some walls. Uh-huh. They have to rebuild some walls. They have to give out some self-confidence. And these kids need that. And one thing that I know from the community standpoint, if you give them something, you give them a positive push, they respond. They respond.
Karen, it must really make you feel very, very good to hear this kind of conversation and the way it's been received.
Anything that can help kids do better in school, I am for 100%. And they're saying it better than I am.
Well, let's turn to Peggy Meyer now with regard to, from your perspective as the principal at Werner, what have you seen as a result of this program?
Well, Werner's done the program for, I believe, 4 years now, and we love it. The kids love when the recruits come. They're very interested in knowing a police officer. That's very cool to them. Most of the kids, the younger kids, still idolize police officers, but sometimes as they get a little bit older and they hear some negative things, they tend to get a little bit confused. So once they meet the recruits, mm-hmm. they're very excited. They see that recruits are real people, police officers are real people, and they just love working with them. They look forward to Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock, and they know their recruits are coming to see them.
Well, it's great to talk about the one-on-one relationship between students and the officers. What about the academics of this? Are the students better students as a result of the exposure to the written word?
Absolutely, and I think them seeing adult role models and adult, you know, they think these recruits are really cool. So seeing cool people who are excited about reading yeah. makes them more excited about reading. You know, kids, especially the older kids, they want to look cool at all times. So seeing that the police officers are very excited about reading and will read with them, that makes them even more excited about reading and hopefully gets them reading more, which in turn affects them positively academically.
Karen, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck out of this because it works on so many different levels.
It absolutely does. And I must tell you that at the end of the time that they come, the students go to the police academy mm-hmm. and have a field trip. So they get to see where they learn how to shoot guns. They get to go into the room to see how they learn how to drive fast. They go up into the gym, and they get to run around the gym, and they have to pull this fake dead body, and they watch a police officer pull down another officer and put handcuffs on them. And they love seeing where they go to school. And it's explained, the officers are coming to your school. Now you are going to go see their school.
Do you have any sense, or does anyone here at the table have any sense of how lives may have been changed? I mean, are there stories? Are there examples that we can point to?
This has been really hard to get the data. It's such a relatively short period of time. And they're going into the classroom, two of them into the classroom. And so to watch all 23 kids and get data on them is very, very difficult. Also, up till fairly recently, there was no way to get the data with de-identifying them because we don't, with privacy issues, you have to only have a student number. Mm-hmm. So Finn Espenson at UMSL did the original study 10 years ago, and I've just talked to him, and we're talking about whether he wants to pick it up again and see if we can show. But we don't have any data except for anecdotal that the kids love it, the principals love it, most of the recruits love it, some of them coming in saying, what am I doing with this? Most of the recruits love it. I will tell you, share with you two quick stories from the very beginning. We started in November. And December, the principal of one of the schools called and said, Karen, I forgot to tell you, we have a Christmas program. We can only use the recruits for half the time. I said, Ms. Atkinson, what's more important, Christmas or reading? Mm-hmm. And we had a little laugh. I said, go to the kids. Do you want to go to the Christmas program or do you want to work with your recruits? And she called me back 20 minutes later and said, we're changing the Christmas program mm-hmm. totally. Every student would rather work with their recruit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly a nice story to hear.
And the other story is quickly about an officer named Kevin, who had worked with a fourth-grade boy who was not reading, a terror at home with a single mom, and a terror at school. And after 13 weeks with Kevin, the mom came to school crying, saying to the principal, I have to meet Kevin from heaven, because the student was reading, the teacher said he was a joy, and the mom said he was a joy. Mm-hmm. And the only intervention was working with Kevin.
Right. Detective Davis, all of this has special relevance, as we indicated at the top of our discussion here, special relevance given what went on in Ferguson during this this summer and fall.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It sends a message, and the message is that everybody in the community is not bad. All officers are not bad. And the healing tone, that's what it is. It's a healing tone, because when you look at literacy, it can be tied to crime. And right now, as far as the pulse of the city, this, I said it before, is critical. And it's critical because young people are impressionable. And what they see, what they hear every day gives them an impression of who we are. But if we're right there in the middle and we're also combating those impressions, they get a chance to make a choice for themselves. So that's the goal, to be able to do that. And you talked about some data, about some things being changed. Mm-hmm. I think some officers are being changed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you sense that, Officer Rutland?
Officers being changed?
Yeah.
It made me feel different about it, because I know when I was coming up, the only time you saw police was something negative. So I never had a cop come to my school and say, hey, it's not all bad. It's not negative as far as the way cops treat civilians. It's actually good people who actually care and want that relationship with the community. So,
why did you decide to become a cop?
To help the community, which is funny. It sounds like a cliche answer, but that was the real reason. Like I said, it was always negative, and I wanted to bring something different, just a different light on. Every time you see me, you're not getting put in handcuffs, and it's not something bad.
No. So, Officer Rutling, you were president of your recruit class.
Yes, ma'am.
What was some of the chatter when I wasn't there, when you all were there, about books and badges?
Like you said, everyone's not going to agree with everything. Of course, someone had something negative to say, but the overall impression was always positive from what I was getting. It was always positive as far as, like, being role models or being looked at as role models. I was excited to see the kids, me and my partner. Every time we walked through the door, it was like, hey, and they were bomb rushes, literally bomb rushes. The teacher's like, hey, sit down. I was like, no, the recruits are here. Our heroes. That's how I felt when we walked through the door. Like, I wanted to sign autographs. It was just, like, that overwhelming when we walked through the door. So I loved it.
Peggy Meyer, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not only about the relationships and how students view the police, but also how the police view the students of the St. Louis Public Schools, especially. Sometimes we have some negative press in our schools, but our schools are amazing and doing amazing things. And so we'd love for people to come in and see those things. So maybe if the police get a call to the school, we've already formed that relationship or that connection with them, and they can better handle things like that.
What, from your point of view, Peggy, what's the biggest upside to this? The biggest upside.
The biggest to me is just the relationship building piece. Connecting police with kids and teachers and schools. We can form great partnerships and help each other. And hopefully in the long run, the kids will remember the officer, the recruit that they worked with, and remember that when they get into a situation where they may need the police's help, or a situation where they may have to make a decision, and they may make the right one because they remember that relationship. Right, right.
Everybody's nodding on that one. That's
Peggy's been a problem for me because she wants all 36 of the recruits and doesn't want any other school.
I do. I will not do that for me. I don't know why.
Well, you can talk about it off the air. We have to take a break. We'll go off the air for just a little bit of time now. We're talking about the Books and Badges program, in which police recruits go into our city schools and work with kids. They read to them. They play games with them, as we've been hearing. And from all evidence we have, it's a very successful program. My guests in the studio are the creator of the program, Karen Kalish. She created Books and Badges here. Detective DeAndre Davis is with us. Officer Darius Rutling also. And Peggy Meyer, the principal at Warner Elementary School. Back in just a moment. If you'd like to get into the conversation, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or send us a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation about the program Books and Badges in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. St. Louis police are investigating 6 homicides after a violent few hours in the city. Police say the night manager at the Drury Inn and Suites on Hampton was killed in a robbery attempt early today. Before that, homicide detectives had already been called to 4 homicides. The 6th was reported this morning when a man was shot to death in his car just south of downtown St. Louis. Students from 14 high schools in the St. Louis region are meeting today to discuss race. The so-called Student Summit is focusing on how to guide the community in, quote, a positive direction. This is when it comes to race relations. Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner has signed an executive order requiring all of the state's political hires to be posted online. Rauner says the public has a right to know who's getting the jobs, which are supposed to be limited only to positions in the government's inner circle. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation. I want to go to the two officers because I can't let the headlines that we've just read go by. Do you have a feeling that the awful kind of news that we're hearing lately, last year, terrible for the city and the homicide situation, do you have a feeling that what you're doing with regarding to books and badges can have any kind of an impact on headlines like these?
I know it can.
Yeah.
I know it can. And what has to happen is the energy and the effort has to be put right toward that. I mean, the kids are the foundation, and when you have a kid that's willing to learn or be able to expose to different things, and he or she has not seen everything that's in the neighborhood, but they're exposed to things outside of the neighborhood, it makes a better kid. It did it for me. Mm-hmm. And
how so with you?
Well, I was exposed to a camp in Michigan. It was called Camp Minnewanka. I had never been out of the city. I lived at 20th and Angelica. Mm-hmm. The 5th District Police Station was a block away. And when they decentralized and moved the police departments from the neighborhoods, I didn't know any policemen anymore. And we watched as crime came in and did what it did. But that camp exposed me to things. I was like, hey, it's something out here a little bit better than just this neighborhood and what I'm seeing.
There's a big wide world.
Absolutely.
Officer Rutling, the thing that I'm seeing here is that this is a 9-week course.
Right.
It seems to me that this sort of cooperation and camaraderie between police and kids has to go beyond 9 weeks. Does it to you?
Yes. I believe it doesn't stop at 9 weeks. It's like Karen was saying, it's hard to make. You make an impact, but it's hard to really, really make that impact you want to make.
And sustain it.
And it's just once a week in 9 weeks for 1 hour. Yeah. So it's just 9 hours pretty much if you look at it. So, yeah, it's hard.
Taryn?
I've been lobbying for more. However, the curriculum at the academy is very, very full. And even to add this, we're the only one in the country that is doing this. I have been talking to the county, but there's been no decision yet. But it is very hard to fit this in to a already packed curriculum.
And Peggy Meyer, what about your take on this? The fact that it's a 9-week course, and that's great, but the kids are still there, and there are still the temptations on the street.
Right, absolutely. And I would love for it to be longer, and I would love to, again, as Karen said, have all of the recruits come to my school. But I think that 9 weeks does have an impact. It plants a seed. It gives the kids a chance to meet somebody who's a police officer. And it does make an impact on them, and they remember that for the rest of their lives.
We have a lot of calls here. Let's get as many in as we can in the time that we have left to us. We'll start with Lori calling from University City. Lori, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. First, I want to send my love to you officers and the educators and volunteers who are doing this. Bless your hearts. This is just terrific. I have a suggestion. Someday, if we could ever expand the program, in addition to helping younger kids get to know police officers as real people, if we could do the reverse and help police officers get to know black teenage boys in a way that's non-threatening. So I'm thinking, let's bring black teenage boys to read to police officers. Anyway, bless your heart.
Lori, thanks for the call. Who wants to respond to that?
I like that idea, Lori. I do. I think they, at sometimes, the dreadlocks, the way they dress, it gets in the way of who they really are. And I think sometimes you have a conversation with a kid, you'll understand who he or she really, really is, you know?
You know, we've seen that with the whole Ferguson story.
Absolutely.
A lot of young people have come through and talked to us in this program. And you get one impression when you see them come in with the low pants and the dreads and all the rest of it. But they're smart, you know, and they're really together, and they want things to change. It's been very, very inspiring to watch these kids come in. What do you think, Karen? Do you want to reverse your program? let's take another call. We'll bring in Tim calling from St. Louis. Tim, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Listen, great show. I'll be brief. I have friends and neighbors who wear the badge, who are police officers, and I can't tell you, as good of friends as they are, I can't tell you the impact that it has on my life when my son comes home from Warner School and tells me that he had a visit from the police officers right there in class. It had an impact, and Peggy's doing an incredible job with the students there and in our neighborhood, and her investment of time and energy and passion is almost incalculable in the impact it has on the kids around us. And it's evident by the idea of bringing the officers from the St. Louis area into classroom. You're just doing a tremendous job, you guys. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Thank you.
Hey, Tim. Thanks a lot. I know.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I know your son and all of his classmates love when the recruits come. So I'm glad to hear that he comes home and talks about it.
Outstanding. It's great to hear your voice on the radio. You guys are doing great.
Tim, thank you so much for the call. Let's bring in Aaron calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Aaron. You're on the air.
Hi. This sounds like a great program, and it reminds me of a program that my son participated in, and it was called the PAL, or the Police Athletic League, and I was wondering if that was still going on.
It is. That league is still going on, and there are more officers than ever right now. So that program still runs out of our academy. It still runs out of our academy, and that program is still going.
That's great.
Sorry, Lynn. I'm sorry to read over you there. Are there other programs that, aside from the Police Athletic League and books and badges, that involve officers and kids?
Off the top of my head, no, that I know of, no.
Don't know of any.
It seems to me, you know, Henry Kaiser said, find a need and fill it.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that maybe there's a need that needs to be filled here, particularly after seeing the headlines we had today. We're getting close to the point where we have to wrap this up. Let me ask you all to put a bottom line on this, and I'll start with you, Peggy Meyer. You know, as you... Just sum up for us, you know, your thoughts about the value of this kind of program.
Well, I think Books and Badges is an amazing program. Our kids really respond well to the police officers. They form great relationships that I believe will last a lifetime and have a great positive impact on their lives.
I'll come to Karen last, but Officer Rutling, let me turn to you.
Okay. I think it's, like I said, it's great because it's the first interaction that a recruit gets to see what it's like to be a police officer, to speak with the community. So I think that's great as far as the training aspect.
When you went into the Books and Badges program and learned you were going to be going to schools, did you have any reluctance to do that or hesitation to do it, thinking that the kids are not going to like me because I'm a cop?
I didn't. I can't speak for everyone else, but I was very excited when she told us that we were going to be going to read to children. I love speaking to the youth because, like I said, they are the future. And they're trying to be what we are right now. So I was very excited about it.
Detective Davis?
Lighting a fire. That's what I like about what she has done. She's lighting a fire, not only in those kids, but also in the men and women that do this job, because sometimes it can be thankless. But to go in and you have a kid that maybe write down something and say you're awesome or that you're wonderful, it lights a fire. And the fire comes from being able to heal. So kudos. I'm going to be there until this program flourishes all over the country. But lighting the fire, that if I could sum it up, thanks for lighting the fire.
And Karen, my father used to say, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And I think what you're doing is bending some twigs here and making good, strong trees. A final thought
from you? I'm just going to say thank you, because they were just phenomenal, and I'm so lucky that I get to do this.
Well, they're lucky they have you to have them do it. Thank you so much, Karen Kalish. Detective DeAndre Davis, thank you for being with us. Darius Rutling, thank you for being with us. Stay safe on the streets out there, guys.
Yes, sir.
And Peggy Meyer of Warner School, thank you so much for being with us. Karen Kellish is going to stay with us for the next segment to talk about another of her innovative programs, HomeWorks. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.